They're coming for your money. The government, the Bank of England, and the financial powers that be. They're hatching a plan, already in motion, to take more control of at least some of your money. Rishi Sunak calls it Britcoin, and yes, he's a big fan of it. In fact, he seems to be something of a cheerleader for this track and trace technology. It's something that is being trialled or developed in over 100 countries around the world. Unsurprisingly, China is leading the way. Make no mistake, this is about surveillance. This is about monitoring you in a new and disturbing way. I think you've probably heard of a central bank digital currency before. It's been all over the news just recently. But I'd wager you don't know the full story. I don't think anyone has walked you through it in a calm and sensible way. That's just what we're going to do here today, because I'm worried that a lot of people, perhaps you, could be caught unawares by just how invasive and Orwellian this new form of digital money could turn out to be. You'll be told about all the benefits, the convenience, about how it's a more secure way to make a transaction. You'll get all the spin. But let me speak plainly. The risk here is that you could be penalized financially, using too much energy, eating too much meat, supporting the wrong causes. Well, central bank digital currencies would make it very easy to steer you in the right direction. Incredibly, the Chancellor came out recently to say that you won't even be able to save your own money in the form of this planned new digital currency. He calls it hoarding, but shouldn't you be the one to decide what you do with it? Isn't it yours after all? I'm here today to separate the fact from fiction and the wild conspiracies from the very real threat CBDCs may pose to your rights and freedoms. I'm sad to say there may be no stopping it. Jeremy Hunt and Rishi Sunak look determined to move forward with this radical type of new financial surveillance. But there is something you can do to limit the threat it poses you. You need to do something. There are steps you can take now to move at least some of your investment capital and money beyond their reach, assets that ring-fence your wealth from the dangers of CBDCs. In the video that follows, we'll share details on those steps. If you've heard about this new form of money and you're skeptical about it, what it all means, well, if you sense there's more at play here than just the official government line, keep watching. I've asked my colleague Nick Hubble to show you what's really happening behind the headlines and what you can do about it before it's too late.
Thanks, Nigel. For the first time in half a century, the British authorities are preparing to issue a new currency. And if you have any money in a British bank account, you need to know how it works. To understand why, let me tell you a story. It begins in China, in Shenzhen to be exact. October 2020, the height of the pandemic. In 50,000 homes all over the city, people wake to find these gift cards waiting for them. From the outside, these red packets, as they became known, look just like the cards that are common presents all over China. Each is loaded with 200 yuan, about a tenner give or take. Small change. That money can be spent in 3,000 places in the city. Shops, restaurants and cinemas all accept it. It appears to work just like normal currency, but these red packets are hiding something. The money loaded onto them is different, radically different, to the rest of the currency in circulation. It's new, digital, and unlike normal money, it's programmable. The Chinese Communist Party can see every transaction, track every purchase, and monitor every cent of the money that's being spent in real time. Not only that, these red packets can be coded with government-set rules, meaning they can only be spent on state-approved purchases. It's a new form of controllable money that has never existed before, and it allows the state to track and trace all money and police behavior it doesn't like. It's what the International Monetary Fund calls the future of money. CNBC called it the next big disruptive force on the horizon. And the Bank of International Settlements said it's likely to be a game changer in the financial system. This money is nothing like the cash in your pocket. It's a perfect tool of control. Just look at China. Soon after appearing in Shenzhen, this new digital money began to crop up all over China. Next it was Guangzhou, then Beijing, Shanghai, Hangzhou, Fuzhou, Xiamen, and countless other cities. It fits perfectly into the CCP's plans. You might not know this, but the Chinese authorities are building a social credit system designed to reward good citizens and punish bad behavior. The state can punish people for playing too many video games, buying frivolous items, posting the wrong things online, or smoking in the wrong place. Do the wrong thing, and people can find themselves banned from flying, barred from top hotels. One student even had his university spot cancelled due to his father's poor social credit score. In 1 year alone, the state blocked 17.5 million airplane tickets and 5.5 million high-speed train journeys. So, how does a programmable currency actually fit in? It's the next step. It can give the state total control over people's money. It allows the authorities to impose rules on what people can do with their money and their lives. Rules which people cannot ignore or escape from, and it makes it easy to punish people if they step out of line. Sounds like something from the pages of 1984, doesn't it? But it gets worse, because this isn't just something the communists have cooked up. The same technology is under development in more than 100 countries around the world. But if you're proud of Britain's history as a freedom-loving nation, a place where the state leaves law-abiding people like you alone to live your life the way you want, where things like privacy and liberty are hard-won rights we all enjoy, well, you may be wrong, because right now, as you read these very words, plans are underway to create a currency exactly like this right here in Britain. Of course, the authorities claim that just because they can track and control your money, that doesn't mean they will, and that's true, if you believe them. Whether you do believe them or not is up to you. After all, some people love the idea of the state being in control of the monetary system. If that's you, I wish you good luck. But if you think there's even the slightest chance the authorities might use this new programmable money to infringe on your privacy, your rights, and your ability to control your money, then stick with me, because I think it's inevitable. And that's why I'm helping people prepare for it. In fact, as you're about to see, a toxic mix of state, organizations, and giant global corporations, including the Bank of England, the Treasury, IBM, Barclays, even 10 Downing Street, are all collaborating on making this kind of track-and-trace currency a reality here in Britain. This new money could fundamentally change how and where you spend your money and live your life. That's because it won't just be issued by the state, like the money in your pocket. It'll be coded by it too. Every pound you spend could be watched around the clock. You could be stopped from buying the wrong things, whether it's a diesel car or donating to the wrong political party. You could be forced to buy into the latest fad like electric vehicles or plant-based meat. And your money could even be locked down or deleted if you step out of line. It's a radical change to how your money works today. Take out a £50 note out of a cash point and you can spend it however you like. Yes, the Bank of England can control how many pounds are in circulation and what interest rate those pounds pay. But beyond that, you're free to do as you please with your money. Beer, cigarettes, diesel, political donations, a train journey or a short flight, it's your money. You're free to spend it how you like, even on stuff that's bad for you or bad for the planet. But programmable money flips this on its head, and that's why you need to take it seriously. In fact, if you're not, then I hate to say it, but perhaps you don't value your freedom or privacy as much as you thought. Think back to lockdown when the authorities decreed where you could go, who you could see, how far you could travel, even what medications you could put into your body. Now imagine that level of control over your money, and not just for a few months, but forever. How long will it be before we all wake up to find the new currency is here for good? I can't say, but if you join the dots, the picture becomes clear. Some form of programmable money is in the works. The UK already has a digital currency task force. The Bank of England has begun a consultation. The Deputy Governor of the Bank of England has claimed Britain may need a digital currency. In fact, recent reports suggest we could be seeing Bitcoin in our financial system as early as the middle of the decade, just a few short years away. And in November 2022, a consortium including IBM, Boston Consulting Group, and Barclays Bank began trialing one. Now, we're much further down the road than you might realize, but what I can say for certain is right now, you still have time to do something about this. One day, that time will run out. That's why in this briefing, I'm going to share four things you can do with your money to help protect yourself as this new digital currency launches. If you value your money and your freedom, then making these four moves now will put you one step ahead of most people. We'll talk about what you can do in just a second, but first, I should explain why I'm writing to you today. There was a time when you could save and invest without worrying about what the state thought of you. Yes, you'd pay taxes, but it ended there. The state stayed out of people's business. Savers, wealth builders, and entrepreneurs were celebrated. Putting money aside for the future or starting a business was respected. But now, it's all upside down. The government is up to its eyeballs in debt. No matter what the problem is, the answer seems to be the same thing. Spend more. An energy crisis, a pandemic, a climate disaster. There's no problem that can't be solved with more spending, more debt, and more reckless decision making. Never mind the fact that all this excess has already triggered an inflationary crisis unlike anything seen in 50 years. And it's forced the Bank of England to step in to bail out the entire pension system. Of course, if you've got half a brain, you can see what's really happening here. The authorities are losing their grip. They can't balance the books, they can't maintain the currency, they can't even manage the economy without emergency interventions every 5 minutes. And soon, if the rumors are true, they won't be able to keep the lights on. The answer? They need new ways of controlling what you do with your money. They want to manage the economy on a micro level. And that's where Britain's new digital currency comes in. It's the next logical step in this process. It takes the kinds of rules and restrictions on who you could see and where you could go in the pandemic and applies them to your money. There have been two major changes to how money works in the last century. The first came as the Great Depression struck in the 1920s. Back then, most currencies were still backed by gold, which imposed natural limits on what governments could borrow and spend. But with a crisis to fight, that went out the window. Governments around the world, including our own, took their currencies off the gold standard. That gave them the freedom to devalue and spend more freely. Soon, the pound had plummeted in value against gold. The second shift came in 1971, when US President Richard Nixon stopped the dollar's convertibility into gold. That made it even easier for the authorities and their friends in the banking system to borrow and spend vast sums of money. Since then, the real value of the US dollar has plummeted, as has every fiat currency in the world, including the pound. Take a look. Two big shifts in the way money works, but one common thread. Each shift granted the authorities more power to do as they please and stripped it away from ordinary people. And that brings me to today. The next big change to the money we used goes much further than anything yet seen. It won't just allow the authorities to create more money out of thin air, but it'll give the power to track where it is, control how it's spent, and punish anyone who steps out of line. It's the ultimate tool of control. This new form of money, known as central bank digital currencies, or CBDC, runs on the blockchain, the same technology that underpins cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. It's 100% digital. This is not physical cash you can hold in your hand or withdraw if your bank gets into trouble. And unlike cryptocurrencies, many of which are decentralized and not controlled by any one organization, this new money is controlled by the state. The authorities create the code and get to set the rules. And that grants them a never-before-seen level of control over how and where that money gets spent. As the Economist put it, these GovCoins, CBDCs, are a new incarnation of money. They promise to make finance work better, but also shift the power from individuals to the state, alter geopolitics, and change how capital is allocated. Once ascendant, they could become a panopticon for the state to control citizens. Think of an instant e-fine for bad behavior. Note the choice of language. A panopticon is a kind of prison. The concept was invented in the 18th century by the English philosopher Jeremy Bentham, who thought the only way to alter society for the better was through constant, unverifiable surveillance. He imagined it as a circular prison, with an observation tower in the center. That tower can, theoretically, see inside every single cell. But the inmates can't see into the tower. They can't know if they're being watched. It's psychological torture. And yet the boffins at The Economist openly chose that specific word to describe how these new currencies would work. Even the Harvard Business Review has admitted that one obvious risk is privacy if CBDCs are introduced. China's government has dealt with these fears with a move right out of 1984. China's government, but not other users, would have the ability to monitor transactions in real time in what China calls controlled anonymity. That means no corporation or company can track transactions using the new currency. Users are completely anonymous to everyone except the government. So not anonymous then. But to be honest, privacy is the least of our worries. After all, most governments now routinely lean on banks to track and monitor transactions if they so choose anyway. So, if you want true financial privacy, you need a time machine. No, the real threat of these new currencies is the fact that the state controls the code they run on, which means it's possible for the authorities to program them to do all sorts of dark and devious things. Say the state decides to pay out a new benefit. It could program that money so that it can only be spent on essentials like food and fuel. But it could go further. It could make sure that money only worked on approved food, healthy food, say, to make sure people use it correctly. Might sound harmless on the face of it, but it opens up a Pandora's box of new controls, regulations, and ways to try and run your life. The Australian Spectator asked recently, so why on earth is this being pursued with such ambition? The only rational conclusion is control, another form of government control. The CBDC will remove financial independence and autonomy from our lives. Give the state this kind of power and it's unlikely to end there. The powers that be could not only force you to buy the right things, they could stop or limit you from doing the wrong ones too. Had too many beers this week? Your money stops working at the bar. Eaten too much meat? Your money only buys vegan food now. Want to drive outside your 15-minute city cell? Pay a small fee, automatically deducted. Carbon footprint getting too high? No more flights for you. In other words, the authorities could have total control over how and where you spend your money. There's a term for all this. Social engineering, which is exactly what a digital currency would enable the state to do. In a recent Joe Rogan interview, digital currency expert Majid Nawaz speculated on exactly this kind of outcome. If you try to buy unhealthy meat, it just won't work. You tap your card, you can't buy that thing, but because you've met your quota of burgers, you'll have to buy a vegan meal instead. Getting people to eat less meat or quit smoking or burn less fossil fuels might all win a few extra votes. But what's that famous saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Being able to program money to achieve whatever the political elite decide is a power no government has ever had before. But they're building the monetary system they need as we speak. They're not even hiding it. Just take a look at what people who run the global monetary system are saying about this. Tom Mutton, a Bank of England director, said that central banks should consider creating programmable money. He claims that a CBDC opens up new technological possibilities, including programming, effectively allowing a party in a transaction, such as the state or an employer, to control how the money is spent by the recipient. More specifically, they could be used to pursue socially beneficial outcomes. To me, that sounds like using your money to engineer a society that the authorities want, which should send a shiver down the spine of anyone who values their freedom or privacy. So, what might those outcomes be? Whatever they decide. This food is bad for you. That car is bad for the climate. The extra £100,000 in your pension is bad for social equality. Who knows exactly what kind of outcome the authorities will try to engineer? The point is, once they control your money, they control you. To see where all of this is going, you only need to look at how the existing financial system has been turned into a tool of control and a means of punishing people in the last couple of years. Take the Freedom Convoy in Canada. At the start of the year, thousands of truckers blocked roads in Ottawa in protest against forced vaccination. In response, the Canadian authorities turned the financial system into a weapon. Protesters found their bank accounts frozen and their vehicle insurance declared invalid. Even donating to the cause was enough to see your account frozen. One single mum donated $50 to the truckers and woke to find her account locked, which showed how willing the authorities are to use money as a weapon. We've seen the same pattern in the USA. It turns out Bank of America gave the government details of 211 suspicious individuals connected to the January 6th protests. Bank of America won't say if they were issued a warrant or subpoena, or whether the surveillance broke any laws. But innocent people were called in for questioning as a result. Now the search is on to find out how many other banks did the same thing. Look, it's easy to dismiss these cases. These people have been cast as anti-vaxxers, Trump voters, deplorables. They're easy targets. But add all this up and what do you get? Authorities that are willing to use money as a weapon, who are developing a new programmable currency, one that's trackable 24/7, can be controlled by central planners and used to punish anyone who steps out of line. And that includes your own government, by the way, because that's a big objection people have when I warn them about this. They dismiss it as something that'll only ever happen in authoritarian states like China, but that ignores the most important fact. It's being trialed right now. If you're prepared to connect the dots, you'll see this kind of programmable currency looks like a foregone conclusion for Britain. Whether the state will actually use it in the same way that the Chinese Communist Party did remains to be seen. The Bank of England has said that any UK CBDC would run alongside cash and bank deposits and that they will continue to provide cash for as long as the public still want it. It all depends on whether you trust your government or not. Only you can make your mind up about that. But a quick look at the evidence shows just how far things are moving. Exhibit A. The Bank of England are already researching a programmable currency. Remember, Director Tom Mutton has already claimed there could be some socially beneficial outcomes from that programmable currency, preventing activity which is seen to be socially harmful in some way. And there's already a task force set up to explore how a CBDC would work in Britain, Exhibit B. The Treasury is also exploring how digital currency would work. When he was Chancellor, Rishi Sunak charged the Treasury with the task of understanding how a new currency would work in Britain. He even gave it a name, Britcoin. Sounds cute, doesn't it? Until you begin to understand just how a currency like this could be used. And we've already been given some clues. The Treasury has teamed up with the Bank of England to launch a consultation into deploying a digital currency in Britain. They signed off on it on the 22nd of February this year. And the Treasury has already announced that should a CBDC ever be introduced in this country, they'd be fully prepared to limit the number of digital pounds individuals could hold in their accounts at the start. This is from a Treasury statement issued in February. A limit on individuals' holdings would apply, at least in the introductory phase. This would strike a balance between both encouraging use and managing risks, such as the potential for large and rapid outflows from banking deposits into digital pounds. They've already been giving it a lot of thought, and the currency's initial development doesn't sound like it would offer you much control over your money. Exhibit C. Corporations are already trialing it. A private sector pilot of a digital currency called D-Sterling is already underway. Backed by Barclays, the Boston Consulting Group, and London law firms Rosa and Rubini, and Simmons and Simmons. That pilot began in November of 2022. It's happening, and it's happening now. Smoking gun. Rishi Sunak is a huge supporter. Sunak pushed the idea of Bitcoin when he was Chancellor. Now he's in number 10. He's got all the power he needs to continue his digital money crusade. Just look at his comments on the subject. A CBDC is all part of the wider story of digital innovation that has delivered benefits to millions around the world and in the UK. Gushing stuff, but thin on any real benefit to anyone except him. Nobody voted for it. The man on the street has probably never heard of it. But all the signs suggest digital money is coming. Frankly, Sunak may find he has no choice. Every major central bank in the world is pursuing a CBDC. The US Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, they're all at it. In fact, 11 countries have already launched their CBDC. We may be forced to move just to avoid getting left behind. Add all that up and you'll probably reach the same conclusion as me. A programmable digital pound is coming and you need to prepare for it. A private version of D-Sterling is already being piloted. Soon you'll probably hear the news that the banks and other tech businesses are using it. You'll hear a lot of technical mumbo-jumbo about how the financial system is becoming faster, more efficient, and more modern. It'll pass right over most people's heads. You'll hear even more stories about how use of cash is declining. It'll get harder to use cash. The number of card-only shops and restaurants will keep growing. That initial CBDC pilot will grow into something much bigger. Then you'll hear news that all pounds, which are already digital, have been replaced with a new Bitcoin, issued by the state. Your bank balance won't change, and so most people won't notice. The fact that these new pounds are programmable won't get a mention in the mainstream media, but with that, the bait and switch will be complete. Then we could be just one crisis away from this new money being used against us. It could be money that expires unless it's spent, to stimulate the economy in a crisis. It could be used to lock you and your money down in a new public health crisis, meaning you can't spend a single pound unless the authorities deem it essential. Most likely, it will be used to limit the amount of carbon you and your family use to help fight climate change. It could be anything. Everything is a crisis these days. Inflation, inequality, the weather, who knows what it'll be next. The point is, once your money is programmed by the state, it's already over. Privacy, freedom, liberty, it's all on the bonfire. As Alex Gladstein, Chief Strategy Officer at the Human Rights Foundation put it, the end of cash and the instant analysis of financial transactions enables surveillance, state control, and eventually social engineering on a scale never thought possible. Dystopian? Absolutely. Look, I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. Of course, if Rishi Sunak or Andrew Bailey were here now, they'd probably accuse me of being extreme. They'd say that just because the authorities can program money doesn't mean that they will. There's no guarantee they'll track and trace your carbon use or dictate what you can eat or how you can spend your money. But they could, but they won't. Now ask yourself, do you believe them? Do you trust the authorities not to use the extraordinary power a digital pound would grant them? Or do you think they'd just be tempted to meddle and intervene? I've laid out what's happening for you, and I've shown you where I think all of this is going. I think the risks are quite clear. You may agree with me or you may not. I'll let you make up your own mind. But if you share my concerns and want some sensible precautions, let's talk solutions. My name is Nick Hubbell. I'm a writer, author, and investor. In fact, I actually started my career as an intern at Goldman Sachs. But now I do something far more interesting. I'm the editor of the Fleet Street Letter, Britain's oldest investment newsletter. Founded in 1938 with the goal of sharing the news behind the news, the Fleet Street Letter has a long history of helping forward-thinking, responsible private citizens navigate their wealth through periods of war, political conflict, and economic crises, not to mention the many investment booms along the way. Readers of this letter were warned that war was coming to Europe 9 months before Hitler invaded Poland. They were the first in the West to know that the Soviets possessed nuclear weapons, which would have been invaluable if you're investing in defense stocks. If you'd been reading in 1987, you'd have had 10 weeks to prepare before Black Monday brutalized investors. In 1999, you'd have been out the door 4 months before the dot-com bust arrived. In 2008, you'd have received a 6 months heads up before Lehman Brothers went broke. And from January 2016 to earlier this year, had you invested alongside the Fleet Street Letter's portfolio recommendations and followed each one to a T, you would have grown a £100,000 investment pot into just under £200,000. And that brings me to today. Our mission at the Fleet Street Letter is very simple: to arm you with the intelligence and insights to stay one step ahead of the big financial and geopolitical trends shaping your world, and to show you what to actually do with your money to protect and potentially profit from these trends. It's a big challenge, but one we're well set to take on. For instance, we offer our readers a fully vetted investment portfolio of trading ideas, stock picks, and other wealth-building moves, put together by master trader Owen Tracy. Owen advises 4 different $100 million funds. He's known the world over as an authority on financial markets. In fact, there are several funds that don't let their traders on the trading floor until they've been coached by Owen. Owen's our investment director, the man who turns our insights into actions you can take with your money. And then you have our real trump card, our man on the inside when it comes to politics, geopolitics, and finance, Nigel Farage. See, Nigel's a big part of our team, bringing his decades of experience helping predict, and indeed shape, the political trends that have turned our world on its head. Nigel has incredible connections, amazing experience, and above all, he's willing to say and predict things that the elite may scoff at until they come true. And let's face it, there are plenty of people who'll scoff at this message. The idea that the government wants to impose total control over the people using a new repressive form of programmable currency. Sounds dystopian, doesn't it? But as you've seen, there's strong evidence that it's coming, and much sooner than many people would think. So what should you do if you're worried? It's not easy. There's no one easy move you can make. But I reckon you can put yourself ahead of the vast majority of others by making a handful of moves we've put together for you. The first step is simple. Understand everything you can about CBDCs. The first thing we want to send you is a crucial online workshop called The Fleet Street Letter Guide to Surviving CBDCs. It's an in-depth conversation between me and Nigel Farage designed to help you understand what your options are if you're worried about the rise of CBDCs. You'll see Nigel's take on the threat they present to you and your money, but we'll also talk you through the different options open to you if you want to protect yourself. Is gold better than Bitcoin at protecting privacy? Will the stock market be safe? How much cash should you have as an emergency fund? Are bonds, commodities, and other mainstream investments all safe? These are the kinds of questions we grapple with. You'll walk away much better informed with a clearer idea of what to do next. That's why I'd urge you to watch this video before you do anything else. But in step two of our plan, we'll help you go further than that. Step two, get a portion of your money off the financial grid. As long as your money is tied up in the traditional financial system, banks, savings, deposits, that kind of thing, it's at risk of being converted into a new digital-only currency. Therefore, the only logical thing to do is get some of your money out of the system. Exactly how much is your choice. I'm not just talking about taking cash out and stuffing it under your mattress. I mean investing outside of the traditional stock, bond, and real estate markets. For instance, there's one non-financial asset that even the rich and the powerful families like the Kennedys have turned to throughout history. In fact, JFK personally put money into this whilst president, but it could still be a good bet today. Or there's another hold in your hand asset that's totally unconnected to the financial system, but that already increased in value by 367% in the decade to 2019, according to accounting firm PwC. That's before the supply of this asset decreased by 90%. You'll get the full story in the report. Plus, you'll hear about seven other steps you can take today to get some of your money off the grid. The good news is we've just finished a new report that contains everything you need to get some of your money off that grid. It's called Real Wealth, 9 Alternatives to the Stock Market. This report can be yours today. I'll show you how to download a copy in a second. But that's only part of the plan. Step 3. Put your faith in real money. Gold can't be printed. It can't be manipulated. It can't be tracked, controlled, distorted, or managed by the state. In other words, it's the exact opposite of the centrally planned and managed money the authorities are working on at the moment. Gold is the most stable form of money the world has ever known. It's real money. Throughout human history, there have been thousands of currencies issued by governments. To my knowledge, they've all gone to zero in the end. But gold has been seen as currency across the globe for more than 5,000 years. And when digital currencies radically alter the global banking system, I'd rather put my faith in 5,000 years of human history. And of course, it can't be tracked. So if you value your freedom and your privacy, owning gold is a must. That's why I want to send you another report we've put together. It's called Gold 101, The Unspoken Advantages of a UK Gold Investor. Open up your copy and you'll get answers to questions like, is gold safe to invest in? How much should you invest in gold and other precious metals? Where can I buy it? How do you store it safely to avoid confiscation or a lockdown on money? What kinds of bullion and coins should you be looking at to buy? And how could you spend gold if, or rather when, CBDCs launch? You can grab your copy of this report in just a second. It comes as a bonus when you become a subscriber to the Fleet Street Letter. This is quick and easy to do and doesn't cost the earth, but it could have a big impact on your money. Right now, it's more crucial than ever that you have experienced, credible, and knowledgeable financial advice and ideas, and not just because of the rapidly emerging threat of centrally controlled money. Look around you. Inflation has broken out to 40-year highs. Global stock markets had a terrible year last year. So did bonds, cryptos, and property. The point being, it's more than rough out there. Make the wrong move with your money and you can pay the price. But that's what we're here for, to help you make the right moves. That's why today I'm inviting you to take a 1-year subscription to the Fleet Street Letter. You'll get the 2 reports I've told you about the second you subscribe. You'll also get 12 issues of the Fleet Street Letter a year. The financial world moves fast. New trends and threats develop. Old ones die. there's no one single set-and-forget approach you can take to thrive in the modern financial world. That's why our monthly newsletters are so valuable. They're your way of staying up to date with the latest thinking, ideas, threats, and opportunities. That might be a new risk developing, a new money-making opportunity, a new position for your portfolio. It depends what's happening in the world. But whatever is going on, we'll be there on your side and in your corner. Then you'll get full access to the Fleet Street Letter portfolio. This is what really sets our work apart from the mainstream. We're not just here to explain what's happening, we translate that into an entire portfolio of investment ideas you can go out and buy to turn that knowledge into action. Generally speaking, the recommendations we share with you will involve the stock market. That involves risk, as all investing does. Some of our recommendations may be listed abroad. That involves foreign currency risk. We'll explain this to you clearly with every new recommendation. In fact, every single idea we share with you will contain a full write-up of the risks, the potential rewards, everything. That's huge. Think about it. You can go and pay £700 for a subscription to the Financial Times, but nowhere in those pages of news will you find a single investment recommendation. It's all fluff. Or noise. It doesn't matter how many PhDs the editorial teams have, they're not sharing anything you can act on. The Fleet Street Letter is different. You'll walk away from almost every issue with a fully researched investment recommendation that ties into our worldview. And here's the crazy part. Though I'd argue we offer far more value, the cost of our work is a fraction of what you'd pay for a year of the FT. In fact, 1 year of the Fleet Street Letter costs just £199. That's it. That's all you pay for a team of world-class financial analysts sharing their most valuable ideas and investment recommendations. You might be wondering, why so cheap? Our business only really works when we have a committed, engaged readership that's willing to stick around for the long term. But we know that you're probably skeptical about people who make you promises on the internet, and we know you want to actually see our research before making up your mind. So we do two things. We make sure some of our best research is priced way below its true value so that any investor or saver can afford it. And at £199, that's certainly true of the Fleet Street Letter. We offer a complete 30-day money-back guarantee on that subscription fee. Anything you pay today is fully refundable for 30 days. So if you're not delighted with the analysis, ideas, and recommendations that you're getting, you can get a full refund. That's a fair deal. And it puts the pressure where it should be on me and the team to deliver world-class research. And to give you an extra incentive to give this a go, you can get your first year of the Fleet Street Letter for half price, bringing that first year price down to £99. Let me tell you, that's an insanely low price. In that light, £99 for a year is practically giving this away. But it means there really is no reason for you to turn down this offer. If you want in, all you need to do is click on the link below this video now. You'll be taken to a secure order form. Everything you get as part of this offer is laid out in black and white. From there, you'll be able to start your subscription. You should have all of your reports and guides in your inbox waiting for you within 30 minutes of starting your subscription. So, if you share our concerns about the loss of freedom, privacy, and control which a CBDC would entail, if you want a world-class, highly respected team of experts in your corner, then there's only really one thing left to do. Click the link below this video to get started. You can review your order before it's final. Just remember what we're up against here. We're on the cusp of perhaps the biggest shift in the way money works in our lifetimes. The Bank of International Settlements said CBDCs were likely to dictate what you can do. Track, control, punish. This is the techno-communist world the Chinese are moving towards already. And our own government is preparing to trial the same kind of money. And if you think I'm exaggerating the threat, just look at the advice central banks are getting from the OMFIF, a think tank designed to shape central bank policy. Programmable money is designed with inbuilt rules that constrain the user. These rules could mean that the money expires after a fixed date, or its use is restricted to a certain set of goods. CBDCs must include programmability as a feature. If that last line worries you, and it worries me, then I reckon it should be all the motivation you need to take action. That's what we're here to help you do. Take action. Defend your freedom and your privacy and take control of your own money. All you need to do to accept this offer and start your subscription now is click on the link below this video. Our team will do the rest.